like, this is as much energy as you're going to get out of me. I'm whipped.
Greetings, Apropossi, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos Nothing Podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And that's about all I've got, too.
I made it.
Well.
Oh, my
God. It's all downhill from here, people.
Should I let you two go first while you have any energy whatsoever?
No,
or should
you should
I go first?
Give us a drink first.
Yeah, oh, first we all want right. a drink.
So,
because that'll help with my tiredness.
This is a drink called the Poire Williams, P-O-I-R-E, Williams. In France, pear brandy is traditionally made with Poire Williams pears and adds a summer-scented sweetness to the champagne. It turns out the stores that I stopped at didn't have any fucking pear brandy. So,
well, we're not in France.
Also that.
Right.
By the way, James's accent is on point. Flawless. Flawless. I thought it was a native speaker there.
Sean is having a nervous breakdown right
language?
Now and throwing things.
Of Russian.
Well, you know.
Okay, there you go.
Flawless accent.
But
flawless.
What they did have was peach brandy because fucking every place has peach brandy. Okay.
Even
peach
those,
brandy is amazing.
Even those people up in the French Canadian area.
Oh my God.
Will not be able to flaw his pronunciation.
People from Canada?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's French Canada.
Yes, because that's the French way of saying
that makes
it.
Sense.
And it's spelled. Sean, I'm so
With
sorry.
Three L's and a silent Q.
Fuck.
Okay, that part's
accurate. Yeah. And three T's, two of which are together and none of which are pronounced.
Yes. There are 17 vowels in a row with a T at the end, and it's pronounced ooh.
That's pretty true.
The line from My Fair Lady, the French actually don't care what you say so long as you pronounce it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mother, who spoke French immaculately, said that that French is a language where you will always use the largest number of words to say the thing that you mean. Yeah.
Whereas German has one word.
Yes.
Which is all the words. Yes.
It's 27 letters long.
Today we will have a spelling test.
No.
It is one word, you have an hour.
Oh, no. Accuracy.
It is 360 letters long.
Oh. Are we drinking? I want to drink.
So,
today's first word, Krankenschwester in der Eisenbahn.
God damn it.
That is the first word.
Salsa, stop. Stop. No, don't. James, just tell me about the drink.
Okay.
Tell me about the drink.
So, yeah, it's a Poire Williams.
All right. I'm going to drink this.
So. Cheap champagne and pear brandy.
That isn't
that's all
pear
right.
brandy.
Or not pear brandy.
Peach brandy.
Peach brandy. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just peary. Sorry, peachy, damn it.
I had a choice of a couple of different flavors and opted for the one that would kind of sweeten the extraordinarily dry, bubbly.
No, I appreciate that.
I wanted to try to find a balance.
My wife enjoys a white wine with a peach vodka. For a nice hot day.
That's fair.
That sounds fantastic. So, we could do that next week.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
God. My body hurts.
I'm sorry.
I was painting a thing, and I had to stand up, and then kneel, and then sit, and then kneel, and then stand up, and then kneel, and then stand, and then kneel.
This is like every one of her dates.
Bob Ross burpees, yeah.
Yeah, but not for 3 hours in a row.
Most guys do not have that sort of no.
No, especially when I'm involved. Need you taken care of right quick. That's already too long, James. Oh, God.
It was more like, dude.
There you go. That's about right.
Jenna's just like, all I did was like expose a shoulder blade here. Yeah. Like,
I barely looked at you.
Pretty attractive shoulder blades, you guys. All right.
They're not hers.
She just keeps them in a drawer.
Yeah.
Oh, whips those God. Out for special occasions.
For opening bottles of champagne, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like a saber.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I did that for like 3 or 4 hours yesterday and didn't feel anything at the time.
Oh, sure.
And then when I got home, I was like, oh, man, climbing the stairs is a little tricky, but okay.
Mm.
And then I got up this morning and like I went to stand out of bed and I was like, Jesus. So yeah, that was, and it's been like that all day. Like normally I take the stairs down for like lunch time and because I work on the third floor.
Got to get you one of those Acorn lift chairs.
And it was just like elevator. But they have elevators, James. I just used the elevator. Yeah. That's why they have elevators.
Mm.
Specifically for days when I, Jenna, am not feeling well. It's the only reason elevators exist.
I am typically the sort that will eschew the elevator as well. But yeah, I know those days where you're just like,
nope.
No, today's an elevator day. Mm-hmm.
Not today, stair Satan. But yeah, the big problem is that my house is all stairs.
Mm-hmm.
There are stairs to get up, and then stairs to get in, and then
you eat on the stairs, to get you up. Sleep on the stairs, shower it's, yeah, on the
it's
stairs.
It's a giant Escher painting, is yeah. what my house is.
Ooh, I always did want to live in that.
That would be dope.
Yeah. Mm. Thought about calling my house something like Escher's Fortress or something like that.
Hmm.
And it seems appropriate to the way it looks, but it's not the
fortress
feel
of Eschertude.
So yeah, so I hurt today a lot.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And it's been very tiresome, but I have gotten in 9,254 steps today. Huh. So
now I'm curious.
Is that good?
I average around 8,000, so okay. That's more than average.
You do way more than I do.
I push myself. I take breaks. Every time I take a break, it's me just lapping the office. Few times people look at me weird, and then they got used to it after a bit. But they're like, "Oh, there she goes again." One of my coworkers keeps trying to stall me. It's like a game to him. He's like, "Well, because the whole point is for me to be walking,
right?"
So he'll be like, "Hey, Jenna, I need to tell you something." I'll be like, "No, you don't." And he's like, "No, really, I do." I'm like, "Nah."
Why?
Huh?
Oh, so you'll be writing an email then?
Yeah. Except this one time he actually did have something to tell me. And he was like, "For real this time, though." And
he
was
the boy that cried wolf. Sorry. Yeah. No, yeah. You laid this mattress. Now you got to sleep in it. How does that go?
What?
I don't know.
You slept?
You fucked a bed? Is that what I heard?
That's apparently how the metaphor, saying, or whatever it
you
is.
You slept with those sheets, and now you made a ghost.
But the work that I'm doing on that fence, I'm making a trompe-l'oeil style impressionistic mural along a fence to make it.
We've gone from Escher to impressionistic.
Yeah, I'm all sorts of like
from Escher to Magritte,
fancy stuff right now. But yeah, it's gonna be basically a hedge made.
Do Rembrandt next.
And no.
Yeah.
No. I can't remember it how. That was for you, James.
Thank you.
Not your monkey.
I'm afraid that we're going to have to keep making jokes about this now.
Oh, no.
You and your Kahlo youth.
Oh, no. No. No.
Even the Dalai Lama would be upset with us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough Monet in the world. All right, so anyway, gross. I got the van, get out of here.
Excuse me, it's Van Gogh.
Okay.
Verzen, get your coat and Van Gogh.
No, but
he's Klingon?
Yes.
Yeah. I just realized.
Yeah.
He's right? Klingon.
But yeah, so got a bunch of painting and it's starting to look pretty good. It's still the basics, but I'm pretty happy with the way the the illusion is turning out. The perspective is I decided to pick different points of perspective as opposed to one for the entire thing.
Mm.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise,
anybody interested? It is now going at auction for $2 million.
Yeah.
Please contact Jenna if you would like to purchase it.
Yes, I will take your. I would take that $2 million and sell that.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure the owners of that fence would be like, "Yeah, that's fine."
Yeah,
I can't see them going, "No, but we need it." They'd be just, "Yes."
All right.
Yeah.
So I'll take.
For $2 million,
5,000 of this, yeah. And yeah. Get
build me a new fence, and yeah,
we'll spend $15 bucks and have somebody stand there and shake their head.
Yep.
Yeah. No, can't go. No.
Oh, that's no. What, sorry. Okay.
No. Yep. Just buy a rope.
Actually, though. So yeah, I am pretty happy with the way that's starting to shape. When I got there yesterday, it was just basically three lines of paint, and now it actually looks like it's doing something.
It does. So. Mm-hmm. It looks really good.
I'm pretty happy. I still don't think it's going to be the grand vision in my head, but yeah, whatever. Artists are never happy with their work.
It's
fest, neither am I.
It's fest folk art. You know, that's what you get.
Yeah
exactly. Mm. So yeah, Friday night I had a ladies' night with some of my friends, and we had wine and charcuterie and wine.
That's pairs well, yeah.
So two of us have like 18 million dietary restrictions, and we can't have dairy and we can't have gluten, and also she doesn't eat meat, which makes a charcuterie just sound impossible.
Yeah.
But no, we got like rice crackers and some gluten-free crackers. Mm. That's actually not that hard to find.
Yeah.
And then a couple of different nut cheeses.
Gross.
Giggity. Oh.
They make cheese with cashews are very popular to make nut cheese. But that is the technical term, is nut cheese. And it delights me to no end. You can go to Whole Foods and go to the cheese guy there and be like, "Hey, do you have any nut cheese?" You can just do that. It amuses me.
And nobody will arrest you.
No. And if you know the guy at the Whole Foods that works the cheese section like I do, he'll look at you and be like, "Oh my God, fine, it's over here."
I've got your nut cheese right over here in this display case.
Yeah, we've got a few different types, and
But there was one that I got that was a garlic and herb brie.
So good
thing. It was because it wasn't actual brie because it was dairy free.
Sure.
But it was damn fucking tasty.
Hmm.
And we hung out and we talked and we gossiped. We talked about our periods.
I mean, I assume whenever women get together, that's what they talk about.
That's it. That's the only
movies
thing
movies have taught
about.
Me that it's that and then pillow fights.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A pillow was thrown, yes.
Occasionally they ask if everything is fresh down there.
I think that's just mother-daughter camping.
Mm.
I think that's only ever mother-daughter camping.
Yeah. Huh. Mm-hmm. All right. My mom never took me camping, so...
so, Jenna, do you ever feel not fresh down there?
Not recently. I've actually started taking these supplements that have really helped with a bunch of my periods.
Are they nut cheese?
No, it's potpourri. She's just eating potpourri.
No, I've actually felt exceptionally fresh down there lately. It's been great. Thank you for asking.
I care.
No, I care. I appreciate that. But yeah, so that, and that was just, it was a lovely time just hanging out and snacking. And I did something on Saturday, but I can't remember. It must not have been that important.
Well, even if you relaxed, you did something good. So my daily step count is usually, you know, between 2,000 and 4,000 steps.
Sure.
And then Saturday I had 9,000 steps.
I think I'm lucky if I hit 27.
Yeah.
Thousand?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I got
it. How many stairs are there to the basement? Double that, and that's about as far as I get.
Oh, fair enough.
I go down the stairs and up the stairs. Done.
Raider Lee just finds you at the top of the steps and then drags you. But yeah, I got up in the morning, went to Booth. Booth needed 220 something hay bales, so we went to a farm and got them, and we had a bunch of help because there was lots of room in the truck that Josh had rented. It was exactly the right size for 220 bales, but the difficulty was that the trailers that had the bales on them at the farm could not have a bunch of people there. So we found that the right balance was to have like 5 or 6 people in the truck and then 3 of us up on the trailer. And so I threw a third of that 220 and then offloading it, probably picked up the other 2/3 and definitely did at least another third just shuffling shit around and carrying it all over the place to make the rings.
Which it looks fabulous, by the way.
Thank you. Good.
Rings look phenomenal.
I'm glad. Yeah. Every single ring required, like, oh no, this corner's not quite, everything's all fucked up. Just take that whole wall where you're going to have to scoot all of these in. And then somebody would be like, no, it's curved. You got to take the middle. We got to push the middle. All right. So it was an hour's long process, but we got it done. And then I went from there to my friend Charles Barker's place. Charles, great friend, bike enthusiast. Didn't want to confuse him for the other one. He has a retaining wall that crumpled like 2 years ago, and then he started getting to it last fall and then was prevented from doing any more by a hard freeze. And then he's been busting his ass all spring and summer trying to get ahead of the deadline that is his the imminent birth of his first child.
Oh.
And since this is his old place, he is probably not going to be spending a lot of time there after that kid is born. So, yeah, he's trying desperately to get it done. But immediately after the bales, I went over to Charles's place and then moved a couple dozen wheelbarrows of dirt and gravel and prepped bricks for the wall and everything like that. Was fucking very well sore, but it was that kind of like warning sore where it's like, you feel okay and you can move around today, but tomorrow, and I got that Sunday was that warning soreness. That's like, tomorrow, everything's going to be fucked.
Right.
So, of course, on Sunday, I took it easy. I drove out to my parents' place to paint horses and fix their internet connection.
Wait, paint horses?
Yes. Do the random, small, odd tasks that they inevitably have for me as their son.
We've been through this before. Yeah. How is it I remember and you don't?
The two of you trade off.
That's weird.
Okay.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
All right.
You asked about it last time, and Jenna filled you in. So, yeah. All I right. assume next time it will be you that's forgotten again. But did
maybe we can both forget next time.
Yeah.
Deal. Good.
On it.
So, did that. And my dad... is part
that's, of... That was a
yeah.
knowing sigh.
He's part of the Royal Manticorian Navy, which
yep.
it's I'm glad that he's out.
A lot of my friends do that, yeah.
Yep.
Technically, I'm part of it.
And he's going to go to the LARP later this year.
Okay.
And he's very excited about that. And good. Get cool. him out of the house. Excellent. Yeah. Keep him busy. But he's on the Discord for it.
Oh.
And he's like, well, I have something I you need to see this. You have to see it. And I'm like, well, you could, I have to go also. I have somewhere to be. You can email me. I came here out of the goodness of my heart and I have to go. Please just email it. Well, I'm not going to email you all of the everything. That's when he pulls up the Discord and I'm like, oh no. Many nerds have committed this crime, but please do not do this. Do not sit and make me read your chat history in a Discord server because it has memes. Just send me the memes. Dad, you could send me an email with these things. Well, I'm not going to go to all that trouble. Here, just look. Okay. Yep. Okay. These are definitely like Facebook minion memes and dad jokes that I know. All right. Well, Dad, great talk. All right. I've got to go. Went to a friend's 60th birthday and had a great time. I, you know, spent an hour and a half, 2 hours over there. Nice. And then fucked off back to Charles Barker's. He's a great friend and a bike enthusiast. And helped a little bit more. I could really only put in an hour before I needed to go. And then spent the evening having a remote date.
Yay.
Yeah. And
wait, you're dating your remote?
Look, I mean, it's got some good buttons.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Do you know how to work them?
Most of them. Some of them. I can turn it on and off.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's important.
yeah.
All right. Anyway, yep. You had a remote date.
Yeah. And watched Mystery Science Theater 3000 season 13, Santo in the Treasure of Dracula.
Mm.
Fuck, it's bad. I love it though.
Okay.
It is spectacularly bad.
Mm.
Yeah. So, enjoyed that. And then, I've just been trying to move and walk and do things. Because Saturday felt fucking amazing. Even though I'm sore, like, I feel like it is a soreness that I have earned. Instead of just one that reminds me of my imminent death.
Okay. Sure. So,
you know, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, fuck. I feel hungover and sore. Well, yesterday was a good day rather than, oh, fuck, I feel hungover and sore. Why? I did nothing. I sat on the couch. Did I sleep wrong? Yeah. No, I'd much rather have a reason. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Cool. Salsa?
Hmm?
Did you do anything?
No.
No. Well, should we take a break then?
No.
No. You want to make something up?
Sure.
Okay. How was your Saturday?
Shirts!
Ooh.
It's the first of the month, bitches!
Oh, it is. Ooh.
There are shirts that are for sale.
Yay!
Prepare your torso.
Yeah.
For shirts.
And yes. As of recording time, we have already sold
what?
Zero shirts.
Oh.
Oh. All right.
So get on that.
No, get
we
that
told
on
you.
It's a
all
shirt.
About this last week.
Yeah, a you whole
should,
seven
your calendars
days ago.
Should have been marked. Your torsos should have been prepared.
They did not prepare their torsos.
You didn't prepare your torsos enough, people. Mm. Get on that.
Yeah.
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 So I did that. That went live today. You should definitely check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been up a whole 7.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
God.
Mm-hmm. No, on Saturday we had our housewarming party.
Yeah.
Oh, I was there. That's what I did Saturday.
And then, yeah, there was lots of food and people, and well, you didn't, so. Mm. Yeah. That's okay. You would have just told everybody who they were in great detail.
I would have told everyone who everyone else was in great detail.
Exactly.
This is correct. How would you introduce me, James?
No,
I need to know.
No, you wouldn't. Just stop. But yeah, there was people at our house, and it was good.
Yeah. Actually, I had a delightful time.
Mm-hmm.
We hung out for a long-ass time. Yeah, longer than I intended, honestly.
It was
honestly.
Like quarter after midnight when people were finally like, all right, time to go.
It was one of those hangouts where, like, suddenly you skip a few hours. Like, magically a few hours have just gone by.
I know what you mean, and then you just get that taste of chloroform in your mouth.
Oh, that one was just you, Salsa.
Oh, is that... no. Okay.
You see the bright light above your truck, and you feel weightless for a second.
Yeah.
No, but like when you're having good conversation with friends, none of us know what that's like here on this podcast. But you're having good conversation with your friends, and like just time passes, and it's all good and wonderful, and there's no awkwardness. It's just hanging out and bullshitting and talking, man. And just it's the richness of life,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Also, Salsa was there.
Well, there was no. There's no deadline, no agenda, no no places you have to be, no
right,
no stress, and it's just like we can just sit here and have a drink and maybe a snack or two, and just talk. About whatever the fuck we want to.
Yeah.
It was quite nice.
Have you considered doing a podcast like that?
No.
Who would listen?
But yeah, no, we showed people around the house, and my kids did a fantastic job cleaning everything up, and then as soon as the other kids showed up, the place was destroyed. So.
Surprise! They put on a show. All of these
like
kids
never
put on a
this
show.
This is what my kids do. Oh, they put on a show. Every time there is an adult in our house that isn't just Mama and Papa, at some point, they are going to put on a show.
I got a tour of a castle they were building.
Yeah.
Not just them. Like, they wrangled all the other kids into it, too.
Yeah, no, that's what they do. Whenever we have friends over for dinner or something like that, inevitably at some point they're going to be like, all right, here, they'll come up from the basement and hand everybody a scrap of paper that says, poorly scrawled one ticket on it. And they'll be like, here's your ticket to the show.
Oh, shit, I did that too.
And, and then we'll come downstairs and they'll put on something. Like, this is what my kids do.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
It was delightful. It was just so delightful.
Mm-hmm. It was a good time.
Mm. Yay.
And the weather wasn't too shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really held out.
Mm-hmm. It could have been about 10 degrees cooler. Oh, but then again, every day could have been 10 degrees cooler.
Yeah. Yep.
That's just the story of my life.
Yeah.
That's, everybody else, I'm sure, thought it was a fantastic day.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, see? There you go.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
You know how hot it's going to be tomorrow?
No, I don't.
What? Why are you making that face? How hot is it going to be tomorrow?
95 degrees.
No.
It's going to be like 62 in my office, so I don't care.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse.
Okay.
I don't care if you refuse. You're not going to be in my office.
But it's nice and cool in there.
It is really cool down here.
My office is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true.
Temperature-wise, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's time for me to make, like, a trash bag tunnel from the front of my air conditioner to my office chair and just exist in one of those tiny blow-up planetariums.
Little bubbles.
Yeah. Refrigerated, yeah.
Your own little James terrarium.
That's what
I want. Sounds adorable.
A James terrarium.
I want one, but I want a heated rock.
That seems right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the only animal I've ever considered getting is like a lizard of some type.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I wouldn't mind having a bearded dragon.
They are very cute.
But I can identify with just wanting a fucking heated rock.
Hmm.
I'm just like, nope, that makes all of the sense.
There are times.
I get this.
Yeah. After using shovels and hammers and other implements of destruction for fucking 9 hours on Saturday. The next day when I grabbed my steering wheel to drive to my parents' place and the car was hot and the steering wheel was hot, my hands, like, weirdly, instead of being like, ow, this fucking steering wheel is too hot, my hands were like, more. Oh my God. It's so warm. It's more. It
it's
felt
like
incredible.
A soothing heat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, that's how I know that I'm injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet I could do something like that for my legs.
Hmm.
God. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm just going to dream about that for
now. You got a birthday coming up. We could always get you a giant rock.
Oh my God, yes, please. This also looks expensive.
What if we got, like, a heated blanket
mm-hmm.
and then coated it with, like, a spray hardener of some sort?
Mm-hmm.
And then we could turn it into a heated rock.
A heated rock?
Hmm. Mm.
I mean, yeah. Canvas over a frame and then have a heat source inside.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yep.
Do you like that canvasy like paper mache, but not paper mache, but mm-hmm. because it's canvas?
Yeah, it's like a muslin.
That canvas and plaster
yeah.
thing, and then make a rock and then put a heated blanket in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, this sounds lovely.
Yeah, we'll draw up some plans.
Get on that.
Right. Yep. Should we take a break?
Sure.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Oh my God. I hate everybody here. You're all assholes, and I hope you die a slow and painful death.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And we're going to do a random word generator, because that's how we roll.
Because that's what we're doing tonight.
These two
bitches
are tired.
Hey, everybody. Our word today is corpse, apparently. should we do a different one? Or
have you heard of the... There's an improv exercise, Exquisite Corpse?
I'm sorry, what?
There's an improv exercise called Exquisite Corpse.
I don't think I'm familiar with this one.
And the reason that I'm at all familiar with it is because of the hosts and writers of Night Vale doing a different podcast called Start With This, where they give you some homework, something to read, watch, experience, whatever.
Sure.
And then the other half of the homework is something to create. And one of the exercises that they did is kind of based on Exquisite Corpse. And the problem is, I don't know, and everybody's going to have different rules for the same games and things like that. But yeah, Salsa, if you look up the basic rules for Exquisite Corpse, that would help. But the, their exercise was that you write, you know, a series of 3-minute things about all of these experiences, and then you fucking delete them.
Ah.
Then you'll start with, and they say, like, start with something that's, you know, 500 words. Get it down to the most essential, like, 300 words.
Oh, okay.
And just, like, really cut it down, make it absolutely perfect, and then fucking delete it.
Oh my
God.
Don't
keep a copy of it. Don't cheat at this. I don't care how good it is. The whole purpose of you making this is that you're going to delete it.
That's the opposite of how I do anything ever.
Hmm.
Like, I specifically write things, short little things, that mm-hmm. I can just push out into the internet and in the world. And, yeah, then I forget about it for forever. But at least sure. I know it's been out into the world.
Yeah. Their whole thing is this idea of, you know, murder your darlings. Whatever your precious work is.
Oh, if I do you know about murder your darlings.
Yeah. You'll be less afraid of just doing the fucking thing.
Sure.
So the internet does not think that Exquisite Corpse is what you described.
Well, I have no doubt that it's only tangentially related. Tell us about Exquisite Corpse.
So Exquisite Corpse is actually a game that I've played before.
Oh.
Kind of. The version I've played, you go back and forth between words and images. But Exquisite Corpse is a surrealist game.
Okay.
Where you... A collection of words or images is collectively assembled. Each collaborator adds to the composition, followed either by following a rule, such as adjective, noun, adverb, verb, or being allowed to see only the end of what the previous person contributed. So you basically only see what the last person wrote, and that's it. So it's kind of a Mad Libs sort of thing, where you're just like, you see what the last person wrote, and you add the next word in sequence.
That sounds like the game that you would play in high school with Human Facts
Machine.
I don't know the name of it,
or
but it was...
Three-Headed Guru, or, you know, some of these other ones like that.
Yeah.
What's yours?
So, yeah, like, you would start a story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one person would start a story with a sentence.
Oh.
And then the next person would read the last sentence and write that, and then you fold the paper over.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, you can only see the most recent line, and then you, write that.
That makes sense. And what it's reminding me of, and the reason that a Human Facts Machine is an icebreaker, especially among people who love to sketch, you know, make quick, dumb cartoon sketches of stuff, where someone will draw a quick thing, and then someone will caption that drawing on the next page.
Yep. And then the next person has to draw the caption
and draw what they think.
That's the version I've played, and this sounds similar to that.
I think I've played something like that,
but
too.
Regardless, everybody's contributing to this longer thing. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember why they referenced Exquisite Corpse as
because
part of the thing.
It's an old parlor game that happened in France, and the surrealists first played the game. The sentence was, "The exquisite corpse shall drink the new wine," and so it's called Exquisite Corpse.
Some of the exercises are that they have. They relate to things that they've seen in theater or games that they've played.
Okay.
And it may just be that they were talking about using Exquisite Corpse in
to build ideas
And things that they were just going to then throw away. I don't remember, but because it was like 50 fucking episodes ago. That's what that reminds me of.
Yeah, I don't have anything super perky for corpse is the thing. Salsa was like, do we want a different word? Because that's weird.
Yeah.
And then you just started going. I was like, oh, all right, maybe
this will go. Another thing was my friend's 60th birthday. His wife had a cake made that looks like a Jaguar E-Type. And I was talking with her about it. It's a classic.
No, I know what
Jaguar.
It is. Yeah. I'm wondering how you're getting back to the topic.
And
anyway,
I said, well, my favorite E-Type Jaguar was the one from the movie Harold and Maude, where he cut the top off a hearse and put it onto a Jaguar E-Type convertible, making it a hard top, and it was fucking gorgeous. But I also understand that it might not be in the best taste to give your husband a hearse car as a cake for his 60th birthday. Unless you two have a very dark sense of humor.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was funny.
If I have a husband who's turning 60, that is exactly what I'm going to do for him.
Mm-hmm. After this next one, are you technically a Black Widow? Is that...
What?
If you marry again and he dies suddenly, unexpectedly, are you now building unexpected. A reputation? Yeah. I mean, aspects of it would be... The timing would be unexpected.
For who?
I mean, you did call the last one.
Oh, so. I did. That's so awkward.
Yeah, well,
I didn't tell your story set about that. Mm-hmm, yeah, no, I think Young Widow was the phrase that got used...
So Young Widow Young?
Yep. Salsa, you look nervous.
I don't fucking care. I would be dead. That's the thing. You can kill me, whatever. I won't know.
That's fair. go.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was thinking about this today, that if you have...
Killing me?
Constantly, also...
I was about to say, that one's not new.
Yeah, that's not new or different.
Goodness, no.
No, mostly by overfeeding you, and just killing you with kindness.
Oh, no, I'm going to die of a heart attack. Yeah. This is true. No.
So, but I was thinking, if two people are destined to be together, it was in my head, I was writing a little story about these two people who are... Like, ships passing in the night, and one of them says to the other, like, well, you know, if we really have kept trying in all of these previous lives to be together, I guess we'll get another chance next life, right?
Mm.
Yeah, and just, like, talking this other person through it as a means of consoling them, because it's not going to work out this life. Because, you know, one of them is about to die or, you know.
How did that get more morbid than what we were, than the original?
What are you talking about?
I will often just write little short snippets of things and catalog them.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was just like, what? Where did this come from? I was confused.
It came from James's brain.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. We can ignore it then.
Yes. All is right with the world.
The idea of killing your darlings drives me insane.
Yeah.
I just, it's where I'm bad at life. I can't do it.
Is that a phrase with meaning of some sort?
Yeah. Killing your darlings is the concept of, I hear it a lot in improv, but like they also talk about it for writing and things like that, where, you have an idea or a concept that, needs to move on or isn't working in the first place, but it's really important to you kind of a thing.
Okay.
So you're creating a piece, you're writing a story and it's just not coming together. The idea of just kind of letting that go.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Not holding it precious.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Killing your darlings. It's also one of those, even if it does work, you got to move on. You got to go to the next thing. You can't just hold on forever.
Okay.
And I'm horrible at that because I had a life full of owning very little things that I could hold on to. So now I'm like an idea hoarder.
I mean, I just admitted to cataloging loose snippets of basic ideas for possible use later. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things that always bugged me about Bill was that he was a really good comedian.
Mm-hmm.
He was just funny as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And he never wrote anything down.
Oh, fuck off.
Like, he legitimately never wrote anything down.
Oh.
And, like, we talked about this at one point. And I was like, how do you remember your jokes? And he's like, well, if it's good enough, I'll remember it. And I'm just like,
No.
No, No. That man probably forgot.
Jesus Christ.
More comedy gold than like five open micers put together.
Yeah.
Just. You probably could have done three stand-up specials.
Yeah.
Off of the material he just forgot.
Jesus Christ. Mm. Yeah.
Drove me insane.
Mitch Hedberg. Sometimes late at night I will wake up and I will have a funny joke in my head and my pad of paper and pencil will be too far away. So I'll have to convince myself it is not that funny.
There's a beautiful corpse.
Yeah, truly. No. Kyle and I have decided that... we have probably forgotten more jokes in the last 6 or 7 years than most people know in their entire lives.
Yeah, but thankfully they weren't funny.
Right.
I mean,
like, I'm not
none of them
that bad exactly. about it.
But
no, there's no loss there.
Not a loss, but an absence.
Mm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Like an abscess.
Very much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly the right pressure, and something's going to squirt out.
Mm-hmm. Ew. Gross.
Oh.
Ugh.
Yep. So that happened. But yeah, we... I find that people have... And maybe you two have discovered the same thing, but especially with these ephemeral things, when people... write jokes and forget them, when people do improv, when people have a good D&D session, things like that. There are times and places to tell these stories.
Mm.
Booth stories also.
Weren't you leaving?
Which is around somebody telling an inappropriately timed D&D story. But people hang on to these things for a long time. And then trying to get someone up to speed on it can be this incredibly involved process. And Salsa, my expectation of you is that you probably just, you're like, they don't know enough about it. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I don't need to tell them. But I'm clearly the opposite.
Yeah, you two are very opposites in that.
I'm not going to waste time.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, why would you talk to people? Have you met them?
Unfortunately, yes.
They're awful. Yeah.
I think I actually lean a bit more towards Salsa on this kind of thing, like trying to catch people up on things. Unless it is I love what Booth does, where we're all hanging out and just telling stories and things like that. And sometimes you need an understanding for the subculture.
Yeah,
itself.
You need some context or something. Yeah.
But like overall, like not everybody has to know everything. As human beings, we are incapable of knowing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes my ridiculous, although amazing story. just isn't what that person needs to know.
Mm-hmm.
So
I believe I know exactly which story you're talking about.
I didn't actually even have one in mind.
Oh,
but
probably more than one story.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Just a generalization.
Which is a little sad as a storyteller. that's a depressing thought.
I find myself moving more toward, like, could I just send this person a link to this thing? Like, the same... I talked about it earlier, where my dad's like, oh, let me show you all of this Discord stuff. No.
Yeah.
I don't... Pop, I really don't need... You know? I don't need it. Thanks, though, for thinking of me. But very similarly, I am moving away from... Unless it is very important, going into the deep lore of whatever.
Right. Not everybody needs your backstory.
Yeah. No, if it's necessary to the story, then yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's just color, it just don't worry about it.
I took a story writing class once that was how to write short stories. mm-hmm. From Allegro, who's an amazing artist. And I thought we were just working on short stories, but she was focused on how to cut down stories, how to get to the meat of the story and cut away the excess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't write stories with excess.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like taking this class and I'm like, derp, 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 derp. I'm not really learning much of it. Like, there were things I was definitely learning. Yeah. They just weren't pertinent to what she was trying to teach in that specific moment. Because that's just what I already do. And so she challenged everybody at the end of the week-long class. She was like, okay, I want everybody to find a story that they've written. Because this was an advanced class.
Sure.
Find a story that you have and cut it down. Except for you, Jenna. Would you put some goddamn detail in your fucking story? Yeah. I'm like, yes, ma'am.
No, I'm the same way as a writer.
Like, yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I haven't written for, like, Fearless Five or something like that, is because if I was to write a play, it would be 5 minutes long.
Sure.
You know, because people would walk in, they would do the thing, and they would walk out, and it would be done. You know?
And now we have done the thing.
Yes. It would be very much walk in, do the thing, walk out, we're done. I've never been able to understand how people are able to write dialogue that takes forever.
Just
fucking get to the point.
for storytelling slams and other like compilation storytelling things, they'll give people like, you know, you write a story between X amount of minutes to X amount of minutes. And like, so usually when it's showcase style, you get like 7 to 10 minutes. When you're doing a slam, like maybe 5 minutes, like 5 to 6 minutes tops, right? And I know so many people that are like, oh God, 5 minutes. How am I going to do a story in 5 minutes? And I was like, how am I going to make a story more than 3 minutes?
Yeah.
And then, like showcase style, where they're like, yeah, we need a 10-minute story from you. I'm like, fuck me.
Like,
all right.
If I was writing Hamlet, it would be 10 minutes long. Because it would just be fucking get in, get out, stop. Just, you know, dialogue takes for fucking ever because people just dance around and they're just like, just say the thing. That's what people do, is they walk in and they say a thing.
The example that I often give is that my sister was writing a story that involved a lot of different settings and characters and things like that. And she described, over the course of a page, described a graveyard. You know, dilapidated, and the graves are...
Mine would be 3 words long.
Right. But,
or
and,
four.
And
it was a graveyard.
Yeah. She had one paragraph that began with the sentence, the broken cemetery gate beckoned like a skeletal hand in the wind. You know, something like that. And I was like, that. I can see the whole graveyard. Just based on that, it's got a broken gate that's just hanging loose, and you know, just slowly waving back and forth in a breeze like that. That tells me everything about this graveyard,
right?
And I have striven to take my own advice. Regarding that, and I will frequently...
Stravopodes.
Oh, yeah,
it's my favorite philosopher.
Ah, yes. I have Stravopodes to follow that advice, often going through a story that's 750 words, 1,000 words, something like that, and then reducing it by a third, reducing it by half. And I've found that when I have to make critical decisions, like... I consider myself to be a person who has an expansive vocabulary.
Yeah.
But I have found that the opposite of the advice that I got from my mother regarding the French language. If I really sit and think about what it is that I am trying to tell the reader, I can do it in half the words, which surprises Salsa none at all because he has heard me talk, but I write far more sparingly. But choosing one word that will tell you everything you need to know that was a sentence.
And see, in my head, when I'm writing,
yeah,
I see the graveyard in my head, and I write graveyard.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like, okay, so now they see it, because it's a graveyard.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can't...
And you have to be willing, very similar to...
No, but the thing is if I actually sit, like... If somebody goes, okay, but this is what you need to do, it's just like, oh, okay, now that's a very good point. And then I can sit down and go, you know, oh, you know, the graveyard with the crumbling down, or, you know, unmowed, or things like that. But when I'm writing, I don't think that way.
Sure,
I can't think that way.
Do you ever just, like, spit something out onto the paper and then go back
I never write to it? Oh. I never write. Huh. Writing is intolerable for me. I get finished with one sentence, and I'm like, this is taking forever.
This is exhausting. Yeah.
This is boring. I'm bored. I want to do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, even writing my own show, I didn't write my show. I did my show, and that's what I like.
Then it was.
Yeah. My way of writing a show is a lot closer to Bill's writing
style. Yeah,
I just kind of do it and then make it up as I go. And when it works, it works. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a script in my head.
Right.
Which is why after the pandemic and I hadn't performed in 2 years, I had to go to my wife and be like, what do I say here?
What is my show?
I've got this line that I say
What are you doing in my house?
Because none of it's written down. I haven't sat down and written a show. I've sat down and, okay, I want to do this and this, and so I'll do it in this order, and here's a joke, I'll stick it in here, and all right, sounds we'll get it.
And that's kind of one of the things that I'm picking up from Fearless Five. By the way, I'm apparently in it again this year. One of my pitches was accepted.
Yeah, I saw that you were writing. Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Perhaps I will direct it again.
I am also excited to be writing a sketch for the fall thing. And then, that's writing dialogue is especially hard for me. I fucking hate it. I think it is very similar to two things. Killing your darlings, you don't have to describe in incredible detail every aspect. You're not, you know, Tolkien. You're not George R. R. Martin talking about a meal. You're not talking about, you know, like, there. Every author has their thing where they just speak prodigiously about it. Feel free to be spare on the fucking details and just let the reader write it. The second thing related is that I came up with a phrase called masturbating the cape, because I used to role play with people online, like a Dungeons and Dragons style role play. And occasionally you'd get someone that came in and they were like, Lord Raven Dark Grim Death Skullsbane is, a muscular whatever. And I wrote out this definition for masturbating the cape that shows you the stark contrast between these three different players, you know, who can tell you everything you need to know about a character in two of them. You can tell everything about their character in a sentence or two, and then this one guy who just writes a fucking masturbatory fan fiction about his black cloaked character. Fuck. Yeah.
I get it. I understand this concept.
Yeah.
It's the Festival Village character that launches into their backstory. It's the... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the... So...
I've never done that, by the way.
Saturday, on the way to the booth, I saw somebody walking on the site road. And I slowed down and said, do you work here? And he said, yeah. And I said, do you want to ride up to the site? Because it was back a ways. It was,
sure.
Close to what the way station, I think it is.
Okay.
It looked like he had been walking from the gas station. And I said, do you want to ride up there? And he's like, yeah, I'm supposed to be helping to put stuff together for a wedding. And I'd appreciate a ride. So I just gave him a ride up there. And he found out that I worked over at the fencing booth. And then after he was done with what he was doing, he came over to talk to us. And he was talking to us while we're all trying to do work.
I had that happen a few times on Sunday, yeah.
So I was like, hey, what's your name? Hey, would you mind, can I borrow you for a second? Can you help us to move some things? You know, like, if you're going to be here and hang out.
Right.
Yes. Can either you help or get out of the way.
Kind of what I was suggesting without saying so much. Yeah. But also, in the meantime, he's telling us all about studying the blade and that he's, a katana expert.
Oh,
and that a katana
sweet.
Is the best sword. And then later,
sweet
he's like,
summer
yeah,
child.
I'm 19. And I was like, you sure are.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, the thing is, I can functionally fucking guarantee that I was almost the same guy, one, at 19, two, probably when I started at the booth.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was the same guy 10 years ago.
Yeah. So, I get it. I get where that comes from.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. Now,
are you still recovering?
I don't
from
know that,
that
I'm on the other side of it so much as just it's somebody other than me, and I can see it. fuck.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference between you guys and me is that at 19, I was a sword expert. So
yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's fair.
Obviously,
yeah.
Master of the katana.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever fought with a katana.
Yeah.
I choreographed
I was
once.
Like, yeah, if you like playing with swords and
I'm
stuff,
the
you
master
could
of the katana. I use it in a different way, though.
That's true.
You've mastered it from the inside out.
Less studying the blade and more studying the menu.
Mm.
But because I had, while he was talking, I had said, like, oh, yeah, if you stop by, if you're working out here during the season, you can fence with us, you can play with swords and that kind of thing. He's like, yeah, you don't want me to do that. I'm like, no.
Oh, no, I really
oh,
don't.
I really
no,
do.
I did. I might have changed my mind.
No, I want to see that.
But I do, too. but, yeah, the whole thing is just, like, I see it as being very much a young person's thing with having all of these ideas that are incredibly important to you and then being confronted with the reality that the audience doesn't need your backstory.
Yeah.
Dear listeners, do you have thoughts?
Any. At all.
Just, I'm not even going to stay on this topic.
I'm out of thoughts, if you found mine, please return them.
Your thoughts do not have to be about
Jenna Marbles
thing
is a
that we've
performer.
Talking about here at all. It doesn't have to be.
No.
You can just tell us cool stuff about your life.
Yeah.
I'd listen.
I would, too.
Tell us your backstory.
Yeah. But no, don't tell us. Show us.
Oh, I see.
Go to the Discord. Make lots of memes that James's dad is going to show him later.
Oh, Jesus.
Tell us all about your stuff.
Yay.
And corpses, too, apparently.
Yeah, and also that.
We're going to take a break.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Hey
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
So outro?
I still...
What the outro?
If anybody wants to make a Kabaddi League, hit me up.
Are we recording?
Oh, by the way, we're back. I'm Salsa. Oh.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And it's time for Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... You don't realize how accurate that is.
I missed.
Try again. Again, you don't realize how accurate you were with the first one. Today's Fast Five comes from best listener, former friend of the podcast, Gray Zastara.
Yay, Gray Zastara.
Gray's opening thoughts are...
Absolutely no longer friend. We do that. Gray's just like, nope.
It was fate.
They're done.
It was fate.
They're done.
Eject.
Opening thoughts. New name, who dis? Questions around a theme. Can you guess it?
Ooh.
Probably not.
Not tonight, baby.
She had a date like... She's never had a date like that once.
No. Someday.
Question number one.
Why are you a dick?
We spent 12 years exploring the answer to that question.
Red or orange?
Let's see.
Those are our favorite colors.
Okay. If I am playing a game and we all have to pick colors for the game, like the game pieces and stuff, I'm going to go red over orange.
I'd go orange over red.
Why? Orange is just like red that's not brave enough to be red.
Orange is the color of safety.
Orange is the color of not brave enough to be actually fucking red.
Orange is the color of oranges.
Yeah, because they're not bold enough to be cherries.
What?
I don't know. Blood oranges, way better. So there.
They're also not... Okay.
They're red on the inside.
Yeah.
Pinkish.
Pink is also...
Pink isn't brave enough to be red. Yeah, that one I will take. But orange...
Orange is just red light.
It's red and yellow.
Salsa?
Yellow is sunshine and happiness.
I don't think I will ever defer to you on matters of color.
I got some opinions. They may not be worth anything, but I got some.
They're wrong, but he has them.
No, they're not wrong. They're just not worth anything.
Jenna, ruling on this?
They are at least not worth anything. The correctness will be up for debate on each individual opinion.
Ha!
Question number two. Oh, wait, did everybody say? Yeah, yes, we did.
Ding!
No! This is better.
Whoa.
Smash or party?
Mario Smash Brothers or Mario Party?
Oh, that's fair.
Party.
Jess would straight up go Smash Brothers.
Fighting games bore me.
I'm probably more of a party person.
Party people, get your hands up.
I think...
What?
No, you're supposed to put your... hands up.
Nope, too tired.
Yeah, but you're not a party person right now.
But you're a party person.
No.
Party
personage is contextual.
Put your hands.
So, I feel like Super Smash Bros. Is great when you have a crowd of people who are enthusiastic about it, mm-hmm. or at least enthusiastic about watching it.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about what do a lot of people who aren't necessarily gamers want to play, I think Mario Party is more equitable.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that entirely, which is why I prefer to play Party.
Sure.
No, I do enjoy watching, frankly, I just enjoyed watching Jessa kick everybody's ass mm-hmm. playing as Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
I'm just like, my daughter won again. Mm-hmm. Suck it, James. But yeah, no, it's as far as like an active group activity that I would participate in, Mario Party, for sure. I agree with that assessment.
I think it's especially cool that you can put a bunch of Switch consoles next to each other on the table and they make a game board.
Mm.
It's kind of fucking cool.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Question number three. Buttons or pockets?
Buttons or pockets?
What's sad is that I meant to hit the wrong button, but that's not the wrong button I meant to hit.
I hit the wrong button.
Pull the lever.
Wrong lever.
What was the question again?
Buttons or pockets?
Buttons or pockets?
Pockets.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's got pockets.
Pockets are the most important thing. I wear cargo pants because I got responsibilities.
I like pockets. I like being able to carry things that I find.
Yeah.
I'm like same. A crow.
I wish I had pockets. Goddamn.
So also, you are like a crow.
It's true.
Huh. I'm like a bird and then I pick your eyes out. You fucker.
Ah!
I don't know where my heart is. But I know where my next meal is coming from.
He's a delicate boy, that salsa.
Yes.
Question number four.
Hey.
Derby.
Ooh.
Or straw.
Derby or straw.
I would rather go on a hayride.
The derby doesn't fit my head shape correctly. I don't have the right body type for to wear a derby. But straw hats, I definitely rock a straw hat.
The one hat that I've seen that really seems completely appropriate for your head is the Casimir hat. Mm-hmm. It just looks correct.
Salsa looks pretty good in a fedora too.
I've never worn a fedora.
Trilby?
No, it wasn't a trilby. What was the hat that you got in Duluth last year?
The one I got in Duluth, that was pork pie.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah, I rock a pork pie.
That all looked right. Real good.
Man, like, I'm just hungry for a pork pie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I...
No, when you put that in your head and you're like, hey guys, look, and we're like, what?
What? It just looks so normal just, on my head.
Yeah, it just looked like
buy
a part
it.
Of you.
What? Mm-hmm. Why? Buy it.
Yeah. What was the question again?
Derby or straw? I almost bought a boater.
Hmm.
That we were in, when we were in Stillwater and we were going antiquing, I found a boater. And I was like, I kind of want the boater. I have no reason. I would never wear it, mm-hmm. but I kind of want it
mm-hmm.
to have it.
Step right up. See the amazing sword swallowing sensation.
You would rock it.
I'm trying to figure out this theme. We had red or orange.
Mm-hmm.
Party or smash.
Mm-hmm.
Buttons or pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Derby or straw.
Buttons or pockets. Mm-hmm. Derbies or straw.
Right? Like, I...
Yeah. That I'm
like the I don't know, like I fall maybe like apples versus pumpkins and
not apples or oranges.
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you can't compare them. Apples
no.
and pumpkins.
Duh.
See, I think that it's going to be something esoteric like despair.
With orange?
Okay.
That doesn't seem likely.
Hmm. Dark orange.
Mania.
Oh, no,
oh,
that
yeah,
one.
No, that's
that,
fair.
Yeah.
That's
no, that makes sense.
True facts. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go derby, because I like roller derby. I like destruction derby.
But a roll in the straw is pretty fucking great.
Ooh. Okay, that's fair.
I'm going to go okay, straw, because I think it represents a scarecrow. And those can be very, like, picturesque on the side of a road.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Yeah, nobody's ever made any horror movies about that.
No,
never.
Never.
Really? Seems ripe for it.
Yeah, you would think.
All right.
Oh.
Question number 5.
I don't even know. There
yeah.
we go.
I love this.
Yeah.
Random button.
Analog or digital?
Digital.
Mm.
Digital.
Unless it's a book, then it's going to be digital.
Hmm. I like analog controls.
Digital.
As opposed, like,
what as opposed you, to digital controls.
I mean, what do you for video games or what do you
what for do you a lot meaning? Of things?
Mm.
I guess I'm not. Where are you going? I'm not understanding or, where you are going with this on
or watches or things like that. I like,
oh, okay.
I like analog.
Oh, okay. I'm
yeah. Sure. I mean, my current watch face notwithstanding.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. I figured you were talking about something specific, not
oh,
like in,
I was thinking,
in broad strokes.
I was thinking about like joysticks and things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what this theme is, but
no. I it's yeah. it's mania, obviously.
I'm also
oh, right. About that. I forgot about that. I wish I could figure it out.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm just coming up empty.
The theme is butts.
Butts, 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 butts.
Like cigarette butts,
butts, butts,
butts,
butts.
I should empty my cigarette butt container.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Question number 1, red or orange context. Which breakfast cocktail are you more likely to make on a Saturday morning?
Mimosa.
Bloody Mary.
I chose
or a screwdriver.
Oh. Screwdriver, not a mimosa.
Bloody Mary all day. Mm.
Between a Bloody Mary and a mimosa, it'd probably be a mimosa, but between a Bloody Mary and a screwdriver, I would have to say a Bloody Mary.
I'm with you 100% on this one, Salsa. Like, I would go, mimosa is just the breakfast drink.
Is a screwdriver a breakfast drink?
I mean, it's got orange juice in it.
It's got orange juice in it, but I don't think about it for breakfast.
It's not a, meh.
To me, that's a late afternoon snack.
Yeah.
What?
Look, when I drink boozy orange juice in the morning, I want it to be with a bubbly wine.
Right.
Well, it needs to be effervescent to wake you up, James.
Yeah, there's a reason for it.
I want a whole meal on the edge of my glass.
Mm-hmm. All right. Question number 2. Smash or party? Which game ruins more friendships?
Oh, shit. Mario Party.
Super Smash Brothers.
Party.
Fucking Mario Party. Party. Yeah, if somebody beats you
Absolutely.
At Smash Bros., you're like, oh, wow, that person's good at Smash Bros. But if somebody beats you at Mario Party, you're like, this is
fucking
bullshit.
The
free star that they gave you, pity stars, and you just
switched the sides on me right before
I was... Of course you're
going
to use the whistle to call the thing. God damn it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just bullshit. Yep, no, it's party. Question number 3, buttons or pockets? What is the better name for an RPG NPC that is key to the story plot?
Ooh.
Oh, pockets.
I like pockets.
Yeah.
Pockets.
Like a Caitlin.
No, I have a story.
Oh,
so, Lollyfoy. used to play the Queen at the Renaissance Festival. Has done many fantastic things at various fairs throughout the country over the years. But what I first remember is a character that she played that was Penny Pockets or something like that. She was a storyteller, and she had an apron full of pockets. And inside each of the pockets was a different token for different stories.
That's so cool.
And she would have people come up and pull out a token, like pick a pocket, and she'd pull out the token, and she'd be like, oh, this one, this reminds me of this story, kind of a thing. It was so
That's
good.
Amazing.
Code of many pockets.
So, yeah, just picturing an NPC that has, like, pockets for every fucking quest, every side thing that needs doing, whatever. Just
love it.
That delights me. Yeah. That's why I want pockets.
It'd be so good.
Also, somebody can drink the rest of that. I can't.
I ran a D&D campaign for my wife and my children. Mostly for my children. The last campaign, my wife, who is a wizard, I gave her battle robes. Because she's very squishy and needed a little bit. It gives like one more AC.
Right. That can make a huge difference.
But it's still one more AC.
Yeah.
Right.
But I gave her... she put it on and was like, while you're transferring all of your stuff from your old robe to your new robe, you notice that no matter how much you put in the pockets, they never seem to fill. And she's like,
oh shit,
no,
I've got pockets of holding.
That
like,
is the best gift any husband can give his wife.
I looked at her and I went, yes, your battle robe has pockets.
It has pockets. Best.
She was so happy.
I mean, I would be too.
So good.
Anyway, so that's, yeah, what...
I want Battle Dad cargo shorts for a paladin.
Anyway, question number four, derby or straw. What's a horse's favorite kind of hat?
A horse's favorite kind of hat. Okay.
Straw.
I think a derby hat looks classier on a horse. But I bet a straw hat would help keep the sun out of its eyes, so I'm going to say straw.
I'm going to say straw hat because I think when horses hear derby, it makes them think that they're going to have to run a race.
Right.
Yeah, but that's the joke.
So I'm going to go with straw.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going straw.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Question number five. Does anybody else smell almonds? Analog or digital? Which is your preferred way to play games with friends?
Ooh.
Wow.
Analog.
Okay.
Analog, yeah. analog. I don't play online games for shit.
I've been playing a lot of online games with friends recently. But I did just have a really good time playing one of the unlocked escape room games. It's a card game that you can play with friends.
Okay.
And different cards will have you draw different other cards by number that you have to combine to get specific answers. And those combinations will have you almost like a choose-your-own-adventure book. If you combine them correctly, they will give you one answer that leads you to the correct next card, and if you combine them in the wrong way, they will lead you to one of the
certain
dead end
doom.
Cards.
Okay.
Yeah, and it might be that might be
certain doom. I guess I've been playing more video games lately, but only because I've been streaming with my family.
Sure.
Otherwise. Like, I don't know, whatever. I love having people over and I love hosting.
Yeah.
There's something nice about just having everything there and hopping on and doing your thing.
Yeah.
I'm not particular. I'm going to say, like, having a board game night is probably my preferred method.
Sure. I get together once every 3 months to play computer games with friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. We've heard.
Yes.
So, I think that's got to be the correct answer. Mm-hmm. I love board games and card games, but I think more often than not, I default to that.
No, if I'm playing a video game, it's a very personal thing. Sure. I'm playing by myself, mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. myself. And if I'm playing a board game, then I am playing with other people.
Sure.
So, all right, closing thoughts on this. Did you get the theme?
No.
It was 5 questions written by me.
God damn it, Greg. Well played.
Yeah. Former friend seems accurate.
Yeah.
Jesus.
If you would like to send in a Fast 5, and you do, that was the last one we have in the queue, please, all you need to do is go to the website, aonpodcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast 5 link, and fill out the form. And then when you're done filling out the form, click the link right next to that one, and get all the information you need for the AON T-shirt competition.
T-shirt competition.
The 3 of us have designed T-shirts, and we're selling them. But you don't know who designed which one, but you have to choose which one is your favorite.
I've already
the only
seen
way
conjecture.
To choose is by buying one or more. You can vote as often as you want. This is not a democracy. Yeah. This is a cheer-tatorship. which is why I'm going to win.
It's been fun in the Discord, even though we haven't had a lot of time yet, but like guesses and people being like...
I will have to check it out.
There's only been like 1 or 2 guesses so far, I think. But
I will
like,
still need to check it
people
out.
Seem pretty confident that they know who did which shirt. And like, I actually I showed Joe the shirts and he knows which one I did.
Yeah.
But he was like, well, I don't know because there's these reasons why Salsa would have done this one, but I could also see Salsa having done this one. And like, yeah. And then James, like, I could see that, yeah, it was really entertaining for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I thought these would be way more obvious.
I think people are going to overthink it. To double, triple, quadruple
bluff. Never anything in his life. How dare you, sir.
But anyway, yeah, no, you should do that. Again, it is going to be open for the entirety of the month of August. We will continue to remind you, don't wait until the end of the month to do it. Because honestly, a lot of you need something good to wear in the campground while you're walking around at the festival.
True
and that's
story.
Coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
You should probably get some new shirts.
Yeah.
Just saying. And for those of you who don't work at the Renaissance Festival, August is coming and it's going to start getting colder out. So you need new shirts. Sure, we'll go with it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Prepare your torso.
Yes, prepare your torsos
prepare
for
your torso.
Those. Does anybody have a shout out?
I do. A friend of mine, Emily, decided to come out to Charles Barker's.
Mm-hmm.
Great friend, bike enthusiast. in order to help move wheelbarrows full of dirt and gravel, and we got a shitload more done with the two of us working on that and Charles working on bricks than I ever could have done by myself.
Nice.
So I'm incredibly grateful. The only reward was pizza, which it was really good pizza though. And like, I'm grateful for the food, but also, it's kind of a daunting project, and I just really appreciate somebody being willing to drop everything to come and help. Yeah.
Hmm. I want to give a shout out to medicine.
Fuck yeah.
Specifically painkillers.
Hmm.
Because boy, howdy, have I needed those. Like, they haven't cut through all of the soreness, but taking the edge off, and I still appreciate that. So thank you, modern medicine. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you. Yep.
Salsa.
Okay. I'm going to give my shout out to everybody who came to our open house.
Oh, yeah.
On Saturday. Yeah. Oh, dang it. I forgot about that. So everybody except Jenna.
God damn it.
That came to the open house. Mm-hmm. It was a good time. Thank you for making us feel, you know, good about the house that we bought. Mm. And just being our friends and you know, being cool people. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say here. So I won't have to say it, which is why my stories are always very short. Does anybody have anything to plug?
I have several things to plug.
What?
Convergence is right around the corner.
Never heard of it.
And if you are attending Convergence, I'm going to list off for you now the places that you can for sure find me. I will have stickers available.
Ooh.
So make sure to say the password. The great AON password. You all know it by now. And I'll give you a sticker. So Friday, August 12th at about 7 p.m. In Wordslinger's Way, I'll be in... These are all in Wordslinger's Way, by the way. At 7 p.m., I will be judging. I will be one of a few judges for the Poetry Slam.
Ooh.
On Saturday, August 13th, at 11 a.m., I am part of the Saturday Morning Reboot, where I will be telling stories. I haven't figured out and or written any of them, so your guess is as good as exciting. Mine. I already know what I'm doing.
Oh.
But, yeah.
You lied to us?
It's going to be myself, Catherine Hansen, and Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe, I believe, is the lineup for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Then at 3:30, I will be doing a show with Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe called Concept of Anxiety. Mm-hmm. It is some of his work that requires two people, so he roped me into it. and then at 8:30 p.m., I will be MC, judge and host to Glasses and Spectacles. This is a show that I have put together. This is my show. I'm curating this one. Glasses and Spectacles is storytelling with a twist.
Of lime?
No.
Oh.
Maybe. No.
Oh.
It is storytelling while performing things. So not only are you performing your story, but you are also standing on one leg. You are also solving an algebra equation.
Gotcha.
You are also playing Jenga.
Obstacle courses.
Oh, so, yeah. Glasses and Spectacles is basically storytelling challenges to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of Glasses and Spectacles will have 7 to 10 minutes to tell a story without any challenges.
Oh, shit.
So we don't know who's going to be the showcase on that one, but the performers that I have lined up for this are Duck Washington.
Wow.
Jenna Papke.
Nice.
Tom S.T.
Holy mm-hmm. fuck.
And Mike Dineen.
Holy shit, that's a lineup.
No, this is all
yeah.
good.
It's going to be a hell of fun good time.
Fuck.
I am so excited for this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Saturday, August 13th at 8:30 at Wordslinger's Way. Definitely come on down for that. And then Sunday, August 14th at 3:30 p.m. I know some people are getting ready for Convergence closing.
Mm-hmm.
But we will be doing a staged reading of Golden Age comics. So many good people are involved with that one. I can't even start to list. But it's basically retelling of Golden Age comic book stories.
Mm.
That sounds fucking entertaining.
I'm down.
Yeah. So that is my list. I expect to see every single one of you at every single one of those shows.
Even you, Troy.
Also, I'm doing a Renaissance Festival, whatever.
Okay.
But then I just found out, and this is really exciting. I have been invited and accepted to perform in the Strike Grandest Story Slam Championship.
Oh, fuck.
So what happens is over the course of the year, there are several story slams that happen. People that place in the top few places are eligible to participate in the Grand Story Slam Championship. The theme is passion. So come hear me tell a story about passion. But this fucking list of qualified people, Maddie Gibba, oh, there's my name, Levi Weinhagen, Dana Sheridan, Lauren Nieni, Patrick DuPaul, Mahmoud Hakima, Ariel Pinkerton,
saying is you're way outclassed.
I'm like, it's just not going to be nominated, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm just happy to be here.
Holy shit. I'm performing, but these other people are performing, and that's who you're going to see. Wow. Really, I know my place. Other people have been doing storytelling for like decades.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'm the new kid that somehow made it in. But yeah, it's going to be a hell of a good night. So that is happening on Thursday, September 1st at 7:30 at Strike. They do have COVID restriction things. Be vaccinated, wear masks, stuffs. And it's $15. There it is.
Nice.
I'm sure there's a price to this. Yeah, $15. Come on by. I could really use the support. Honestly, this one has me nervous. Oh, God. Because you just heard that list. Of course I'm nervous. I should be.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I should be.
I have performed with many of those people, and every time I do, I'm just like, what am I doing here?
Whoa,
I don't know why I'm here.
Oh, buddy, yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel your pain.
Uh-huh.
So, to compete with them, though, that's even more.
Right.
I feel,
no. I'm not just, like, I've done storytelling shows with, like, Lauren Anderson, and, like, some of these people, even. But, like, that's different when it's a showcase as opposed to a competition. And it's different when it's a championship as opposed to a competition.
You'll do fine, I'm sure.
Anyway, so yes, please think to put that on your calendars. I will be pushing that one hard because I am internally freaking.
As usual.
Yep.
All right.
That's what I got.
Fearless Comedy Productions is presenting a show at Fearless Fringe this year. It is What's Your Day Job? Or How Capitalism Destroys Us All. This is a show that was written by a couple of the newer Fearless members, Zach Stodds and Lauren, I don't ever...
Rosemary?
Is it
Rosemurgy?
Is it Rosemurgy?
I believe so.
I'm never sure it's Murgy or Murgy or how. Either way, it sounds wrong to me. But it's Zach Stodds and Lauren Rosemurgy, and directed by Jason Kruger.
Fuck, awesome.
It's got Emma Titi, Jason Stone, Samuel Osborne Huerta, and Misty Bramer performing in that. But yeah, it's a Fearless show. It's a Fringe show. You should go see it. And they make fun of, you know, capitalism, apparently. So
that's always good to take a poke at.
Yeah. So yeah, you should check that out. Anything else?
Oh, also I stream.
Yes, Jenna streams. Any more plugs? Any final thoughts?
Bye-bye, love you, bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for listening to this podcast. Thank you to Gray for sending in the Fast Five.
Yeah.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I...
Just go ahead.
I'm pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.